We are now going to move into something I enjoy doing here on Fifth Sundays, and Lisa Bacon has agreed to come and allow us to get to know her a little bit, so let's welcome Lisa up. Yep, you do. You get to come up with me today. Why not, right?
Okay.
So, that is yours. Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
Being in the hot seat here. So, we kind of go through the same questions every time we do this. And it always starts out with, tell us a little bit about your growing up years and your family. We're going to start with your, what was your maiden name?
My maiden name is Schultz.
Lisa Schultz. And Lisa Schultz grew up where?
New Ulm.
Near New Ulm.
You betcha.
It was actually Cortland, right?
Is that Cortland, yes. It's about 5 miles from New Ulm. Back then it was a town of 300 people.
And Lisa said she didn't get to New Ulm much, so she was truly a small town child.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, all right. And family?
I have a younger brother who's 3 years younger than me, and then later on in life, I have a half-brother from my dad's relationship that he had later after my parents divorced. Mm-hmm.
And they're all still in the New Ulm area?
They are, yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And occupations for your parents?
My dad was a truck driver, and my mom worked at 3M. She was, in the early 80s, she was the first female production supervisor, so she was very goal or career oriented.
Mm-hmm. Cracking that glass ceiling, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So so that's kind of neat.
And with that, I remember growing up spending a lot of time alone. You know, my dad was a truck driver, my mom worked shifts. And so as a younger kid, I was babysat a lot. I had tons of babysitters, and then it was the early 80s, and so I was also left alone a lot in my elementary age years.
Yeah.
And right. Yeah. My dad, my parents divorced when I was 19, so my dad and mom lived together in the same home, but my dad was pretty much absent. You know, he was physically there, but as far as showing any interest in either me or my brother, I don't think he was able to. I mean, there was not any love shown. Even now, like, I'll say I love you, but I get a, it makes him very uncomfortable.
All right.
So, and with that, I developed, why? What's wrong with me? You know, why does my dad love me? What am I doing? What's going on? There must be something wrong with me. You know, I didn't process that or handle that very well. So in growing up, I developed a eating disorder. I was bulimic. And I went to inpatient treatment in my ninth grade, and then again going before I went into my senior year. And that kind of stemmed from just the dysfunction in the family, the abandonment, even though my dad was physically in the house. You know, that's what they always said in treatment, is that I need this relationship with my father that he just couldn't provide. And as an adult, I have come to closure with that, and he is my friend.
Yeah. And so, once again, these get to know you segments, if you're someone out there who has a really pain in your past and difficult times, it seems like almost every time we discover that most of us have pain in our past and difficult things and some tough things about your childhood. Yeah. Yeah. How about post high school?
Post high school, I kind of wanted to follow in my mom's footsteps that your identity is wrapped up in your career. So I wanted to be something big, you know, and so I went to school at various colleges. I graduated in Mankato with a business degree and some further schooling to be a nursing home administrator. And it was 6 years. And I think I spent 6 years just because I flat out really didn't know what I wanted to do, but at least I could say I was going to college. So, And I ran an adult day service program, which for the elderly, for a couple years, but it didn't pay well, and it was a good experience, but it didn't pay well and didn't have benefits. So I ended up going to work at 3M, where my mom worked, and I got into a purchasing position there, which I had done that. Then I was into purchasing for 3M and a pole barn building company, and then a healthcare catalog company.
Right.
Until I
And that got you out into the Hutchinson area?
Yep. Right? Yeah, I moved to Hutchinson, and that's where I met my husband. And we were introduced by a cousin of mine who said I had to meet his friend Bacon. And and it wasn't love at first sight. It was... it took 3 months for him to call me and ask for a date, and we went to a movie, and then it was a rocky start even after that. We lived a very different lifestyle than we do right now.
Yeah.
And
church and God, not
in the least.
Part of
We ended up, Tommy was a year premature, is that what we like to say? We chose a Lutheran church, and we became members to baptize Tommy, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically, I don't think went to one service. And we baptized him at the after service day.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
Yeah. Good. Well, we're going to get back to that church thing here in a bit. How about hobbies, my friend? What do you like to spend time on?
That was a tough one. Raising kids. I'm interested in clean eating and growing your own food and local foods and minimalist lifestyle, which Tom isn't fully on the bandwagon with that, but I throw a lot of stuff away that he doesn't agree with.
I
wasn't asked before.
I'm learning how to ask, right?
I fight this battle too. Minimalist living. What is this?
Where is that?
It had, and he didn't notice for 5 years, right? It's okay.
Yeah, right. All right, good. Hobbies, all right?
Yep.
Okay, so let's get back in, because the next question is about tell us when a walk with God started to enter the picture for you, and I think that it kind of started through some counseling that you two were doing.
We had Tommy, and when I was pregnant with Tommy, I discovered Tom's addiction, and I wanted to believe, and I think he told me that, well, that was just something, it just goes away, right? It's not going to happen again, and that's not usually how recovery works. There's multiple relapses, and I was struggling with that, I didn't know how to handle it, and so Tom's NA sponsor suggested, hey, this church I go to offers free counseling. Maybe you two should look into doing that. And that was at the Assembly of God Church in Hutchinson. And we started going as couples, as a couple counselors, and to deal with Tom's addiction. And then after, it ended up being that she wanted to do further counseling with just me. So she's seen some issues in me. And so we worked on that.
Yeah.
And in that process, she was very good about... she would pray. She'd always ask, can I pray for you? Can I pray for the sure. Never really pushed, not too pushy at all. But certainly it started to open my eyes to, well, I don't go to church. Maybe I should start going to this church. And it's a fairly big church. And I remember going for the first time, and I sat in the very back row, and I was very close to the door. And people were, it was nothing like I'd ever experienced before. The worship was just amazing. The raising of the hands, the crying, I was just taken back, and I remember struggling each week to, like, it was almost like the enemy was trying to make me not go, I don't have any clothes, decent clothes washed, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, all these excuses, but I kept going, and, am I getting ahead of myself?
Oh, you're doing good.
You
mentioned that you also often were crying.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I finally, I would look around, I'd see other people crying, and I wanted to. I so wanted to, and I so wanted to raise my hands, but I just was just holding back. And finally, there was this one sermon, I think it was Mother's Day, and it was about mothers, and I just lost it, because I have mother-daughter issues, and I just bawled all the way home, and I remember Tom, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Are you okay? What's the matter? And I couldn't even put it into words, because it was just the Holy Spirit was just starting to work on that hardened heart of mine.
Yeah.
And I just remember also during worship one time, just for the first time feeling unconditionally loved. Just that all the void in my father was just filled, because God is my father and he loves me, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, I am loved. You know, that was huge for me.
Yeah.
Because I had never felt that.
Yeah. It's an awesome story, isn't it? I frequently hear that too. People come into church for the first time and they start crying and they don't even necessarily know why they're crying. They're just crying. And I think it testifies to the truth of this message, and it just resonates in our souls, and we need it. It's true. And our bodies react when it connects like that. So I think that's awesome. And then the unconditional love of the true Father. That's good. And eventually Tom started coming with you.
He did.
Yeah.
Yep. The counselor that we were seeing ended up marrying us. And it was before we were married, wasn't it? You started going to church? And he went, and at the end he's like, I loved it. Oh, the pastor's message was great, but that worship, I have a friend that lives a block away, and so I'm just going to hang out there for a half hour and then come sit by you after worship is gone. And then worship ended up becoming one of your favorite parts, because he too, the Holy Spirit worked on him, and he would cry every worship service, and it was, well, most of them. And
Tom
started coming with too.
I love it. Mm-hmm. We're works in progress, and I've had other people tell me that too. Oh, can't go to that worship stuff, but that doesn't mean they're always going to think that way. I think that's... So, Lisa, when would you say you made a firm commitment to Jesus as Lord of your life?
Definitely when the counseling at the church and going to the church. And I would have these... I worked 20 miles out of town, and I started listening to Praise FM, and they would have a little Focus on the Family blip during my commute, and that helped to just resonate this whole new relationship and experience with the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
So during those times at Riverside.
Right.
That time.
Good. How about anything else you want to tell us, or other stories?
I remember when we were baptized as adults at our Assembly of God, and they, you know, we had an opportunity to say anything, and I remember saying, and I still believe this firmly, is that I am not the same person I used to be. And I'm not perfect, by no means, but I am certainly, I mean, God pulled me out of a family that was incredibly highly critical and judgmental, narcissist, I mean, just very hypocritical, and he pulled me out of there, and I never thought he would, or he could, or I'd ever be there was anything different, and that's all God. That is all God.
Yeah.
That's it.
Can we say praise the Lord? That's, hey, great job. Great job. I love those stories, and now they're, I know you both would say you're not perfect, but committed to each other, committed to your kids, raising kids in a different way. It's a whole new pattern, right? And we give credit to the Lord for that. So that's exciting. Lisa, thanks so much. That's good stuff.